welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Awesome. It's always a privilege to be here in Pretoria. Love you guys. I love the way that you worship God. Worship was amazing. Thank you, team, for surrendering yourself and preparing. You know, there's a lot of work going into a service like this. The chairs doesn't evolve into the state that it is. People are actually packing it out, and the technical team needs to get the setup right and everything. So really, just want to honor you. Just want to appreciate everyone that's put work in, so that we can come and that we can hear what God has to say, because it is all about Him. You know, as we just sung. Let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for this privilege, Lord, to come together, to come and sit under your word, Lord God. And we profess, Lord God, that you alone are King, you alone are Lord. We humble ourselves before you. I pray, Lord God, that our hearts will be open to receive your word, so that your name may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Guys, yes, that song really blessed me, that last song especially, because it's very in tune with what we're going to talk about tonight. And it says, it's all about you, Jesus, and all of this is for you, for your glory and fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way, because you alone are God, and I surrender to your ways. I hope that we mean what we sing. I hope that when we come together and worship God, that it's not a mindless act, but that we actually, what we're professing, say, Lord, this is how I feel. This is what I want to do. If we confess it to God, He's actually going to keep us accountable for that. Ever thought about it like that? Yeah. Worship is not a mindless act. It's professing unto God who He is and who I am in comparison to Him. I'm in the yielded state, Lord God. I'm the one going on my knees before you. For you alone are God. And I surrender to your ways. That's big words, man. That is huge. If we say something like that, I'm going to surrender to your ways. Why? Because you are Lord. Because you are King. In a kingdom, when a servant is ordered by a king to do something, that servant, 200, 300, 400 years ago, didn't backchat the king. Yeah? Would you agree? Today, there's a lot of backchatters. Yeah? And God's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's just get this dynamic right here. I'm the Lord. I'm Adonai. As He says in, as the Old Testament in the Hebrew writing describes Him. And it ties in by, you know, with a message tonight about being a bondservant, also known as doulos. Doulos is the Greek word for bondservant. And it's important for us to understand what it means to be a bondservant, and how that ties into our everyday life. Because without understanding bondservant, it's going to be difficult to relate to God in the right way. And I really want to encourage you to, I think for some of you this message might challenge you a lot today. But I want to encourage you to be open, to be receptive to what God wants to do in our hearts. Because when we understand this concept, and when we start to apply this concept in a biblical way, that's when our freedom truly starts to manifest. I don't want to run ahead of myself, but let's just look at a few things about bondservant. Now, in order to understand the principle of being a bondservant effectively, we must go and look at Israel's history, you know, and what happened there. Now, we know that Israel was in slavery for 400 years, right? They were in Egypt. They were being enslaved by the Egyptians. The Egyptians have long forgotten Joseph and the legacy that he has left, and the Israelites became slaves. And then, God, in a miraculous way, make a way of escape out of Egypt. And this whole nation, estimated, I think it was 1.2, 1.3 million, I'm not sure, around there, this whole nation escapes Egypt. Now, just so by the way, that's a cool trick, to allow a whole nation to escape another nation. Yeah, it's something only God can do. So a whole nation escapes Egypt. They go into the desert area, and their first real pit stop is Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, we're given, the Israelites are given the Ten Commandments. And then one of the very first laws that God gives to His nation is the law of the bondservant. But before I go there, when they get to this mountain area, God manifests Himself. But He manifests Himself in a very powerful way. I mean, there's thunder, there's lightning. Now, you know, our Pretoria, Gauteng thunder is pretty impressive, but it doesn't compare to the thunder that's around the throne room of God. That's impressive thunder. Yeah? Thunder, there's lightning, the mountains start to shake, and this whole nation start to retreat from this mountain. They're like, whoa, man, this is too hectic. And they go to Moses, they say, listen, Moses, you go to God, and you tell Him that we will do whatever He commands us to do. But the reason why they say that is because the only language that they understand is fear. That's all they understand. They've been in slavery for 8, 9, 10 generations. If they did something wrong, they were lashed. If they did something right, they were lashed. Doesn't matter what they did. When an Egyptian slave driver was next to them, and they were next to them 24/7, they were lashed. All they know is fear. All they know how they can relate to this awesome being is through fear. And God's like, whoa, 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 I don't want that. I don't want my servants to relate to me through fear. Now, you get a healthy fear and an unhealthy fear. I'm not talking about a healthy fear of God. I'm talking about an unhealthy fear of God. An unhealthy fear of God would constitute of something like, you know what, if I don't pray today, my job will be in danger. God's not going to protect me in my position, wherever I'm at. You know what? If I don't read my Bible today and every day and make sure that God sees that I'm actually studying His Word, I will never find my marriage partner. Guys, that's a lot of baloney. That's an unhealthy fear towards God. And some people live like that. They feel that God is the slave driver that's coming with a whip. And if I don't step right, He's going to whip me to pieces. That is not the God of the Word. That's not the God that we serve. But what God do want is that He wants servants who are willing to love Him and appreciate Him for what He has done. Servants that are willing to serve Him, not because of fear, but because of their love for Him. An understanding of what He has done on our behalf. Like I said, you know, God gave this first, one of the very first principles that God teaches His nation is this law of doulos, the law of the bondservant. Now let's look at Exodus 21, 1 to 6. Now these are the rules that you shall set before them. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married with his wife, he shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and the children shall be her masters, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave, now look at verse 5. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master. First, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. Now, I will explain to you what all this means a little bit later. Before we get there, just remember that the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament and of the Messiah. The Old Testament is a natural picture of a spiritual truth in most cases. Yeah? If you don't know that, you need to go to Bible school in order to understand how the dynamics of the Old Testament fits into the New Testament. Everything points to Jesus, to the coming Messiah from the Old Testament. So when I read the Old Testament, one of the things that I need to ask myself is, what does this mean for me in a spiritual sense? What does this mean to me in a spiritual sense? Because everything that happens in the Old Testament, we can learn something from it. There's something that God wants to teach us. It's not just history. There's something that God wants to teach us. He says if you apply this in a spiritual sense, it will manifest in the natural for your good. Now, when we look at the law of the bondservant, the first thing we must realize is this law does not apply to the hireling. Who's heard of that word before? Hireling. Very few. So let me explain to you then what it means. A hireling is someone who does something in exchange for something else. So, I go to you. I'm willing to give you 8 hours of work on a day. You give me X amount back. Wages. That is what you call a hireling. I've hired your services. In a spiritual sense, that would mean someone going to God and says, I will serve you, but you need to do this for me. That is a hireling. And God's like, I'm not interested in hirelings. I don't want hirelings. I'm interested in people who are willing to serve me unconditionally. Why? Because it's all about you, Jesus, for your glory and your fame. Jesus is interested in servants who listen to what he has to say and who are willing to react on those words. And when we look at this law of the bondservant, we see that they're talking about a slave here. A slave who lives under his master. So by the way, that word master there, the direct Hebrew translation is Adonai, which means the Lord. In other words, he works for his Lord. It's a direct translation of that. And he works for no compensation. But then Exodus 21 says that after 6 years, this slave must be released. That was a law in Israel. I don't know of any other nation that did that. But God instituted that law so that man will not be enslaved forever by another man. That's why I put that law there. So after 6 years, that man or woman must be released. In other words, that person is free. But he's got the option to stay with his master. He's got that option if he loves his master. If he loves his master, he may stay under the household of his master. So, let's think about this. When a slave says to his master, his Adonai, his Lord, he says, you know what, I love you. I've got the option to go free and go do my own thing. But I choose to stay with you because I love you. I love the way that you look after me. I love the way that you treat me. What is he choosing by default? He's choosing not to be free. He's choosing to stay under his master and under his rule and under his household. His default choice to stay with his master is to be not free. I will explain to you what that means in a bit. Because you see, when his master sets him free, he can go do whatever he wants. He can choose the path of his own life. He can choose the way that he will deal with his finances. He can choose who he will marry. He can choose what career path he will take. He can choose what he will spend his time on. He can choose what he will keep close to his heart. That slave is absolutely free. He's not a slave anymore. He can go do whatever he wants. But if that slave says, I love you, my master, he surrenders all those choices, all those decisions to the master. But you see, now he's not a slave any longer. The dynamics have changed. He's not a slave. Now he's become a bondservant. And there's a big difference. He's become a doulos in the house of God. He's become a doulos in the house of his master. Now, Paul understood this principle, and he related to himself. He described himself as a bondservant. Peter described himself as a bondservant. James described himself as a bondservant. Jude described himself as a bondservant. And many others described themselves as a bondservant. They understood this principle. And they had no issue relating themselves towards God as a bondservant. But not only they did that, Jesus himself related to himself as a bondservant, described himself as a bondservant. Because Jesus didn't come to do his own will, but to come and do the will of our Father. He was very clear on that. So the first lesson that we learn from this is a slave can give up his freedom to become a willing bondservant. He has that option. Why would he do that? Because of his love for his master. Now, do you think that's a good master? Huh? What slave will surrender himself and give up his freedom to a bad master? Only an idiot will do that, honestly. Right? But when my master treats me well, when I can see this is a good master, it makes sense. It just makes sense to surrender myself to him. But you know what? This surrendering to the master, this decision, it's not based on fear. This decision is not based on an intellectual assent. But it's based on the condition of my heart. How my heart relates to this master, the God that I'm serving. And we must understand, my friends, that I know there's some interesting teachings around this. But you know what? God is first and foremost interested in our hearts. He wants our heart first. Because if he doesn't have my heart, he doesn't have me. He might have my mind. He might even have my hands. I can do a lot of stuff for him. But if he doesn't have my heart, he doesn't have me. And God is after our heart. He's after us before anything that we can do for him. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people today in church, they serve God, in inverted commas, but they actually do not serve Him because they still want to do things their way and they do not surrender themselves to the will of God. All they do is they put a religious covering on their works. And God says, Ikona, that is not for me. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 says, now this is confirmed in the New Testament. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your, what's first? Heart. With all of your soul and with all of your might. You see, true obedience, biblical obedience, always start from the heart. From the heart, it flows over into the soul, into your consciousness. And from there, it flows over into what we do. And I challenged the Joburg crowd with the same thing. I said, if you're doing something in this church because you feel obligated to, stop it because you're busy with dead works. And you should repent from that. That is what Hebrews 6 verse 1 and 2 is talking about. The very first thing it says about the basics of the doctrine of Christianity is to repent from dead works. Works that we do because we feel guilty, obligated, whatever. If it doesn't flow from our heart of love, my friends, you are busy playing games. Stop it. Go and sort your heart out before God. I'd rather work with 5 people who's got surrendered, loving hearts towards Jesus and work with them and get everything done than working with 50 people who are moaning and groaning because they feel they have to do it. God is more blessed by the 5 than the 50. I know this is a challenging message, but we need to evaluate where we are. If you're a small group facilitator and it's an absolute burden because you're looking up to it, it's like, man, I don't want to do it. You know, I just feel I have to do it. Get out. Trust God to raise up another leader and get out. God is after a surrendered heart. And that is something that only He can change. And I must ask myself, when I'm in that state, why do I feel like that? What has caused me to come to this place where I feel such an disgust almost with kingdom stuff? It's things that I need to I had to work through myself. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching here for myself. These are things I needed to work through. So, you know, I'm not pointing fingers. I needed to go through these things myself. I understand how it works, my friends. If you do not do things from a heart of gratitude and love towards God, you're going to burn yourself out. That's, by the way, how burnout happens. When I hear about burnout, I'm like, your heart is not right. You know? There's something that needs to change in your heart. Sure, some people take on too much. We need to protect them from that. Because they're just too eager. But I don't believe in something like burnout. Imagine I say I feel burned out towards my wife. You know, honey, you just burned me out. I'm just going to leave you now. How does that work? It doesn't. Does it? There is no such thing as burnout. There is such thing as a heart that is not unconditionally surrendered. Now, I don't know about you, but I've come across this quite a lot of times. Maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you're a lot more holy than I am. And you haven't done this before. But I've made promises to God in a moment of anxiety, in a moment of fear. I can remember a few times where I was in a tight spot, you know, and I made this commitment towards God. And I was actually sincere of that commitment at that time. And then afterwards, I didn't follow through with that commitment. Anyone here experience that? You're an honest crowd. You know why that is, my friends? It's because that decision, that commitment was based on an emotion and not the heart. Anything that's based on our emotion is fleeting. It will not stay. That is what is from the heart. That flows from the heart. A heart that I have towards God, that is what will stay. If I make a decision based on fear or anxiety, even of sympathy, it's an emotional decision. It's an emotional commitment. And it will not last. God wants a heart that shows commitment because we understand who He is and again, for what He's done for us. So, He's looking for people who are willing to surrender their will. Who are willing to surrender their heart. He's looking for bondservants. That is what God is looking for. Bondservants. Now, one of the definitions of doulos, bondservant, is being devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. Let that just sink in a bit. Being devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. Now, note that when the servant gives up his freedom and he places himself under his master, under Adonai, under his Lord, he places himself under his master forever, right? And now the relationship between the master and this servant changes. It changes completely. Because the servant is willingly surrendering himself to the will and to the prosperity of his master. Not his own. He's committing himself to the household of his master. That everything with his master is going well. And in return, his master is taking care of him, is providing him for him, and is protecting him. Because he's become part of the household. You see, by becoming a permanent servant, by being part of that household of the master, he and his family, that servant and his family, is forever being taken care of. Now, in a practical sense, when a slave decided to give up his freedom and to live with his master and to serve his master and to serve the ideals and the desires of his master, then they would take that slave in public to the elders of the community, and the word says before God, and he will confess that this is his decision. He makes it public. He says, let's say, you know, Donnie is my master. I go to the elders and I say, you know what? I confess that I've been a slave in Donnie's household, but now I'm going to be a doulos. I'm going to be a bondservant. And I'm surrendering my life, my will, and my desires to Donnie and to his household and to his prosperity. And it's a public confession. And then they would take him. They say, okay, it's cool. Well done. They will take him to the master's house, to his door, and they take an awl is an else. You know what an else is? Who does not know what an else is? An awl, yes, you guys. Shocking. Okay. An awl, an else, is something that you actually use in woodwork. Call it woodwork? Houtwerk. It's a woodwork, doesn't it sound right, is it? Yeah? Okay, woodwork. Carpentry stuff, there we go, thank you, man. Take this else, it's about that long. It's got a sharp point at the tip. And you actually, if you need to make a hole in wood to drill in the wood, or, you know, hammer a nail in it, you can make a hole with it, especially in hardwood. So it's like a long pin that's sharp. And what they will do is they take the servant ear, put him against the door of the master, take that awl, press it through his ear into the door. And there he will stand, pegged, for I don't know how long, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a day, I don't know. But that shows that this guy has committed himself to this master's household. And he is being physically attached to his household. And symbolically, he's become part of that household. That's what it means. Now, how does that relate to us in 2012? If we want to come into the house of Adonai, if we want to come into the house of the Lord, the house of God, then we must become a bondservant. Remember, the Old Testament is a picture of that what is to come. There's spiritual truths that we need to discover. Proverbs says it's the glory of kings to discover the hidden truths of God. We must become a bondservant in the house of Adonai. And that means, first of all, we must give up our free will. And my friends, that is completely opposite postmodernistic preachings. I'm not even talking about teachings. Preachings that you will hear from the church today. No, you can go desire, you know, pursue your own will and your own desires. That is not biblical. That is not biblical. What is biblical is that your desire, if you are under God, is His desire. Your will is His will. No way out. That is the way that it is. That is what it means to be a bondservant. There are too many Christians pursuing their own ideals, and they go and try and split churches because they feel so, man, this is my will. This has to be from God. You know, I'm going to pursue this desire, this will of mine. And they're messing it up. Why? Because they're not surrendered in their hearts. They're surrendered to their own will, yes. They've become their own gods. We need people again that are willing to be surrendered to the will of the Father. Who says, your will be done, not my will. And it doesn't matter what it will cost me. We need some radical Christians again. That says, you know what? I'm willing to live a life of absolute self-denial, Lord God, if this is what you require of me. Whatever your plan is, I surrender to that. And if my heart is not aligned, then get it in line. I can't do it. But you can. I tell you, if you go with God with an urgency in your heart to do His will, He's going to change your heart like that. To pursue His will in everything that you do. Now I know, you know, some sparklights is going on. Ooh, I need to go into fivefold ministry. I need to become a pastor, all that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need to find out what's the will of God for your life. And you need to go pursue that. Whatever that is. If God called you to be an engineer, then you go do it. then you go do it for His glory. If God's called you to be an accountant, you go do it, but you go do it for His glory, not for your glory, not for your Porsche, and definitely not for your BMW, and not for your six-story house. For His glory. Where am I? Talking about free will, aren't we? Okay. Okay. You see, guys, when it comes to free will, if I go to God and I tell Him how I will obey, when I will obey, in what way I will obey, I'm not a bondservant. I'm a hireling. I'm doing my own thing, my own way. I'm actually rebelling against God. But we must come to God in humility, and we must declare our need for Adonai, the great I am, our master. Because when we do that, when we commit to serve Him from a heart of love, from a surrendered heart, of gratefulness for what He's done for us. Guys, do we meditate regularly on what God has done for us? Do we remind ourselves of what Jesus has done for us? He saved us from hell. He saved us from everlasting torment. But not only saved us from that, He's given us a glorious hope in Him. Do you know that Jesus is coming back? Are you waiting for Him? Or are you living as one of the five foolish virgins whose oil is finished already? And if Jesus comes back tonight, you're going to miss the bridegroom. Which one are you? The wise one or the foolish one? Too many Christians get so bogged up with what's happening in their lives around them today, in the natural, that the Word of God is being weeded out of their lives. The parable of the seeds. Some seed fall between, what's onkruit? Weed. Yeah? The cares of the world. And it suffocates the gospel. It suffocates the truth. Why? Because so many Christians do not live with the expectant hope to see Jesus today. He may come in 20 years' time. He may come in 50 years' time. Let me tell you, Paul didn't think that. John didn't think that. And that's why they were one of the most effective soldiers for Jesus. That's why they could destroy the kingdom of darkness. That's why they could live in power, because they had expectation in their heart to see Jesus today. Not tomorrow. Not in a year's time. Today. What is your mind filled with? That will determine who you serve. If my mind is continuously, day after day after day, only filled with my breakup with my ex-girlfriend, or my job that dissatisfies me, or my whatever, then I'm not focused on Jesus. I'm getting sidetracked, and I need to repent of that. Turn back to Him. Keep my eyes on Him. Get filled with the Word of God again. Proclaim this Word over my life again. And you will see the fruit of that. You see, guys, many people only want Jesus as Savior but not Lord. Many people want to relate to Jesus as the one that takes care of all my troubles, but I still want to go and do my own thing. God has not given us that option. Jesus is either both Savior and Lord, or He is neither. But it can't be one of the two. We either surrender to His will unconditionally because He saved us, or we go do our own thing altogether. You know what? When we enter into a covenant with God, there's a life exchange that takes place. The word says that we get the life of Jesus and everything that goes with that. I don't know about you, but for me, that's a pretty good deal. If I can get the life of Jesus and everything that goes with that. In return, He gets my life and everything that goes with that. So by the way, He gets the bad deal. But He's willing to take it. But that is the exchange that takes place. There's no opt-out from that. So my friends, we can keep our money, we can keep our works, we can keep our musical ability, we can keep our teachings, we can keep our prophetic anointing, we can keep our leadership skills. If God doesn't have us, and if He doesn't have our will, He's not interested in those things. He's not interested in those things. He wants us, our heart, and our will. Because with that, He can work for His glory. God is after lovingly surrendered hearts. You see, my friends, it's impossible to describe ourselves as a bondservant and cling to our own freedom. It cannot go hand in hand. It's impossible. So, let's move on. When we look at Jesus, He demonstrated what it means to be a bondservant to us, especially in the Garden of Gethsemane. His whole life was a demonstration, but especially in the Garden of Gethsemane. How many of you think that Jesus was very excited to go to the cross? He wasn't. Despite how much He loved us, or still do, He wasn't excited about going to the cross. Because He knew He's going to take a lot upon Himself. He was sweating blood for Pete's sake. It's the last time that we sweated blood. I never did. I never got to that place of anxiety. Yeah? That's hectic, man. He was hoping that the cross would pass Him. But He said, Father, not my will be done, but Your will be done. Because I surrender my will to You. I never know whether I should do this in a sermon, but I just feel I'm going to do it anyway. We live in a society where we are being preached that the more you have, the more blessed you are. It's a load of baloney. And we are being taught in varsities all skills and you know, abilities, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. I also went to varsity. I also did the degree thing. But we're being taught that if we don't have that, you know, we will never amount to anything. Thank you very much. I've got a preacher here with me. And we feel that with more, the more we have, you know, the more blessed we are, and that means God is with us. My friends, God, we are only in the will of God when we do what He tells us to do. And if God tells you to give up your material well-being, yeah, I've said it, to give up your material well-being and to live in faith and to pursue His will and to pursue His desires in a different area, in a skill set that you didn't know that you had because you were forced in a certain direction by whatever circumstances, are you willing to take that leap of faith? And to surrender your will, to surrender the dream car, to surrender the dream house, to surrender the dream holidays to God. And say, Lord, Your will be done, not my will. If You send me into the most dangerous areas in this world to go preach the gospel, if God says, I want you to go do it, are you ready? Is that a yes or a no? There is no maybe. A maybe is a no. Because Jesus said, when one of the guys came to Him, He said, let me just go. Can't remember what, bury his father or need to go tend to some matters. Jesus said, no, follow Me now. That's it. I'm not saying you should go into full-time ministry. What I'm saying, what I'm challenging is our will. That's what I'm challenging for myself. If God comes and interfere with my will, am I willing to give it up? Is your business and the will for your business surrendered to God? Is the will for your marriage partner and to find it in this year, is that will surrendered to God? Is your 5-year plan, your 10-year plan, your 20-year plan, is it surrendered to God? If God comes and He says, I'm messing up all your cards now, because that wasn't actually from me, that was just your own desire, I actually want you to go do X, Y, Z. And that's going to mean discomfort, that's going to mean that you need to walk in faith, that's going to mean that, you know what, you're going to be challenged out of your wits, but I give you one promise, that if you do this, and you have to take my word for it, because I'm not going to give you anything else, if you do this, I will be with you all of your ways. Are you willing to do it? That is a challenge that God leaves us. That is the challenge that God gives His people, and He says, if you want to be a bondservant, you must be willing to do whatever I tell you, wherever, in whatever way, and I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. But be surrendered. Because with surrendered hearts, God can work. Something that God, yeah, when I saw this, it actually blew me a bit away. I've been reading it forever, but I, you know, it never really struck me like this. John 7:17 says, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. Now, what is very interesting here is that what I discovered is it's actually only bondservants that hear God's voice. And that's where you get so much deception in church. Because there's so many hirelings and slaves in church. God speaks to bondservants, to those who's got surrendered hearts, to those who's got a surrendered will. And look at what He says here. He says, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether this teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. What Jesus is saying is, you will not understand spiritual things unless you are a bondservant. Unless your will is surrendered to the will of God. Only then will you start to understand spiritual things. It's only then that we will start to discover what the will of God is for our lives. You know what? There are so many people that are so confused about their purpose in life. And God wants to reveal it to us. But we must be willing to listen. I think sometimes God keeps quiet because we won't receive what He tells us. And He's waiting for us to come to a place where we can actually receive that what He tells us. Jesus is very clear also what it means, what the manifestation of love is. Because you see, all of this, again, my friends, this is so important to understand that a bondservant is not a place of obligation. If you are sitting here, and I'm throwing it out there, if you are sitting here and you're feeling heavy right now, you're feeling guilty right now, you're feeling like I'm throwing a big, dark, iron cloud blanket over you right now, that's not my intention. But I want to know, why do you feel like that? Because when my heart relates to God in love, I don't have an issue with surrender. I don't have an issue with giving up my will and give my will to God and allow His will to manifest through me. And Jesus says, gives us a very clear picture of what the manifestation of love is. In other words, how does love practically come into play? John 14:21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, He it is who loves me. Who? Who loves God? Come on, say it. Read that with me. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Jesus is very clear on it. We don't preach about that. I will never back away from the truth. I want you to know that. If it's in this book, I will preach it. And this book challenges the wits out of me. When I sit quiet with God, God challenges me. I tell you, I'm scared sometimes, but in a good way. This is a book that exposes us for who we are. God, just overlook my sin. Just cover my sin. Hunky dory gung-ho ninja God. He's not a God. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. But not from a heart of guilt and obligation. The one who does my will, who keeps my commandments, from a heart of love. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You see, guys, Jesus didn't manifest himself to everyone. And that's why Jesus doesn't manifest himself to everyone in church as well. He only manifests himself to those who do his will as a doulos, as a bondservant, as someone who has declared, I am in your house. I surrender my life to be in your house. I put my ear against your door, and I am bound to the prosperity of your kingdom, not my kingdom. Now, we needed to take that tour in order to understand the following. John 8:35-36. This is Jesus' words. So it's the red passage in your Bible, if you've got the New King James. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Now let me ask you first of all, do you think that Jesus knew the word? He was the word. He is the word. He will always be the word. Of course he knows the word. So if Jesus states this and he talks about a slave, do you think that he understands and he knows about the law that says within 6 years the slave must be free? Yeah? Of course. All right. We know that a slave is set free after 6 years. That's why Jesus says the slave does not remain in the house forever. Because he's set free after 6 years. But the son remains forever. You see, the bondservant, because he has surrendered his will and become part of the household of God and decided to give his life unconditionally, to take his will, surrender it to the will of his master, moved out from a position of slavery into a position of sonship. The bondservant becomes the son. And only bondservants can become sons. Not the hireling, not the slave, the bondservant. The one who says, your will be done, not my will be done. And that's why we can see, John 1:12 says, but to all who received him, he gave them the right to become sons of God. Jesus is the door into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the door into the kingdom of heaven. And if we as bondservants put our ears against this door, Jesus, and allow our ears to be pierced with an awl against this door, symbolizing our commitment to this household, then we've got the right to become sons in the house of God. Then we are sons of the Most High. So my friends, if we truly want to be free, we need to give up our freedom. When we surrender our will and our plans and our desires and we attach ourselves to the door, to Jesus, and forever become an obedient bondservant of this Master, obeying Him, not because we have to, but because of love towards our Master, then we are free indeed. That's how freedom manifests. And it's so ironic that those, I'm talking about people in church, this isn't actually a message for people who are not saved. I'm sorry if you're not saved. Praise God, He can do all things, and we trust Him that tonight you will meet Jesus. But this is actually a message for Christians, for people professing to believe Jesus and to follow Him. There are so many Christians in church today that cling to their own freedom. They cling to their own will. And the default is that they keep themselves in bondage. They think that by clinging to their own freedom, they will be free. But they're not. They're keeping themselves in bondage. But those who surrender their freedom to this great Master, this good Master, and says, "Your will be done in all circumstances, everywhere," those are the ones that find their freedom. It's so ironic. That's how the kingdom works, isn't it? God says, give away, you'll get more. Give away your freedom. You know what? You will get freedom. That's what the word says. Jesus is saying to the bondservants, John 15:14-15, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you." Jesus is talking here to bondservants. That word friend is philos. Philos means a dear covenant friend, an affectionate friend. You're part of my household if you are a bondservant, says Jesus. And he says, "For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." Made known to you. Not to the religious crowd. Not to the guy or girl that thinks they can go off on their own little tangent. But to the bondservant. To the one who are surrendered. They will hear Him. They will hear His voice. So just in conclusion, my friends, what is a doulos? It's someone who was a slave. And that slave has been set free. And we were all slaves, weren't we? Slaves of the world, slaves of sin. We were set free by Christ. And now we've got an option to surrender our will or not. Those who surrender their will and pursue the will of their Master are the ones who actually hear the voice of God, who can walk in the ways of God. And in return, God says, "I will look after you. I will protect you. I will care for you. And you will be with me forever." He's looking for surrendered lives. Why? Because it's all about Jesus. And all this is for you. For your glory and your fame. We sung it. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. Because you alone are God. And I surrender to your ways. A life of surrender. Can we just stand? There's just a couple of questions I would like to hold before us, before we finish off. First one is, am I a bondservant of Christ? Am I a servant of my fellow Christians? Am I prepared to say, I'll do whatever, wherever, and whenever you want me to, Lord? Am I prepared to hand over my will to the Lord and let Him take care of me? And are you willing to obey God for what He has commanded you a while ago and you have not yet done? And there are some people here God has spoken to you about something and you've not done it yet. And you know you need to do it. At the moment, you're walking in rebellion against God and God is saying, stop it. I've commanded you to do something. I know what I'm doing. I see the big picture. You don't. Go do what I've told you to do. My friends, there's a big blessing in obedience. Maybe just before we finish off, let me just share this story. Right after I got saved, before I got saved, I was another boykie. You know, I had a different life. And there were two guys in my residence that I absolutely abhorred, and I absolutely make sure that they knew about it. And I was completely disrespectful, and I related to them in a way that is disgusting. And the one actually studied to be a dominie, and the other guy was the Kosse's father, a guy that over the hostel, residence, overseer, if you can put it like that. And after I got saved, God told me, I want you to go to those two guys, and I want you to go and apologize to them. This is just an example that I'm giving you. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to do that. Ever. You're going to touch my pride there, man. I like this pride. God's like, I don't care about your pride. I want you to go. And I walked with that for 2 years. 2 years I was resisting God in that area. And it was weighing me down more and more and more. Until one day, I just said, okay, stuff this. I'm not going to win this battle. I'm going to go and I'm going to apologize. And I did it. And everything that went with that, it was just so amazing. Just to see how God came and redeemed, how He took a relationship and just turned it completely around, and how He has blessed me just for that little bit of obedience. God has spoken to some of you about something, and you're not doing it. And God says, stop it. I want you to commit to do that what I've told you to do. Because if you don't, He's just going to bring you back to base one every single time. You're going to walk in circles like the Israelites did in the wilderness for 40 years. Don't be a fool. Don't make a 12-day trip a 40-year hell. Let's keep it at 12 days. Yeah? Are we in agreement with that? That's the one thing. The second thing is, there are some here that you are very hard-headed and you want to pursue your own thing in your own way, and God says, stop it. Because you don't know it all. I am God. I know what's best for you, and I want you to surrender to my ways. You can either be a donkey that walks into the wall 17,000 times, or you can be a doulos, and I will show you the shortcuts. Too many Christians take the long way out because they're too hard-headed. They are too stuck to their own will. And God says, tonight is a night of surrender. Tonight is a night of surrender. I see if we can spill something over there. Thanks. So guys, I know this is probably a challenging message, but it is all about Jesus. It is all about His ways. It is not about us as if God should do things our way. It's about Him. God is committed to one thing and one thing alone. And this will probably shock some of you. If you think He's committed to you, you're wrong. He's committed to His glory. He's committed to His glory. And everyone who are willing to align themselves up with that. His glory. He is faithful. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But on His terms, not our terms. Don't hold conditions before God. He is God, the creator of the universe. the one who created us, who formed us in the wombs of our mothers. And He has predestined us for greatness. He has predestined us for His glory. But we need to be surrendered to that glory and to that will. Can we just pray? Father, we just thank You that You are almighty. We just thank You, Lord God, that we can surrender ourselves to You. Father God, we just come in repentance for any hard-headedness, Lord God, for pursuing own wills and own desires. We lay that at the cross now. And we declare, Lord God, that we do not know everything. You know everything. And we will not pursue our dreams, Lord God. We will pursue Your dreams. And we will ask for You, Lord God, how we find ourselves, where we find ourselves right now, how that aligns or can align or should align with Your glory. We are Your servants, Lord God. We are not here to command You and to order You around. We are here to obey Your will. I just feel God is saying, remember always to have an eternal perspective. Do not allow your mind to be succumbed by the natural, or your natural environment. Think godly things. Focus on Jesus that will keep you on the path. Absorb the Word of God. Relate to God in worship. I just see as people worship, the presence of God just filling those rooms where you see God in your quiet place. Put on a CD, you just start worshiping God. How His presence fills that room. How you have a one-on-one with the Father. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the secrets of God. Because you surrender to His will. Lord God, Your will be done, not ours. Lord God, Your will be done, not ours. For You are worthy and holy and righteous, Lord. Thank You for Your unconditional love towards Your children. And I pray, Lord God, that You will direct us and help us, Lord God, to come to that place of unconditional surrender. As Your love is unconditional, that our surrender to You will be unconditional. That flows from our heart that is bursting with rivers of living water for Your name's sake. For love for You. Because of what You've done for us, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Father. Just while eyes are closed, just focusing on God. You just see by hands. I'm not going to expose you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front or anything like that. I just want to see. Is there anyone here that you feel your heart is not completely surrendered to God? And you want to come to that place of surrender? You just quickly raise your hand. Just all eyes closed. Just focus on Jesus. Father, I thank You. Can lower your hands. Father, I thank You for every hand that's been raised. And I pray, Lord God, that by Your Spirit, by Your gentle love, Lord God, by Your great grace, Lord God, that You will lead everyone, Lord God, who has responded to that call to a life of complete surrender. I pray it over myself, Lord God, and everyone here. That we will live lives of complete, unconditional surrender. So that Your name may be glorified and magnified and beautified for all of eternity. For You are holy. are magnificent.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is